Seats. And you can, if you don't have a Bible at home, we want you to take that Bible and make it your own. So you can have that one if you need it. We like to give Bibles away at Southway Bible Church. In your bulletin, there's some sermon notes, if you'll turn to those, in the little one page after the calendar. You can follow along as we go through some of the message today. Stress has been called America's number one disease. We're going to start a series called Stress to Rest. This series is to help deal with stress in our life from a biblical perspective and help everyone get answers. Because everyone deals with stress. It's not something that anyone is exempt from. Everyone deals with stress from time to time. So we're going to deal with the five top stressors in life. If we polled 1,000 people, these are the stressors that come up often and over and over and over again. The first one is my future. Why do you think stress is such an issue in our future? Because we don't have control of our future in so many different ways. And so our future is the subject today that we'll be talking about. Next week, people stress the second biggest stress in life is my finances. Oftentimes, we don't have control of our finances either, do we? And we deal with struggles with our finances. We just got through a series with Balanced, and it's a completely different subject. We dealt with what God's Word says about money. This next week's message is going to be about the stress of finance and how to deal with that as it comes up in our life. Then we have my job. You know, people deal with stress in their careers and in their job. That's the number three stressor in America today. My job. And then my faith. People deal with faith issues and struggles and stress in their faith. And the last one was a little surprising to me, but we're going to cover it. I'm not ashamed to cover any subject that we need to cover, and God's Word has a lot to say about it. My sex life. That's a stressor in people's life. And so we're going to tackle that subject and even talk about that one. So you won't, it'll be a packed out crowd that day. You won't want to miss that sermon. You can pray for me. You know, we'll deal with it. So praise the Lord. Instead of having a different verse every week, I have many verses to cover with you. We're going to have a theme verse for this series, and it's going to be our memory verse for the next, not only today, but the next 4 weeks, and that's going to be in Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, look in your bulletin, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. In other words, come to me, all you who are stressed out, right? Jesus invites us to him, and then he says, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I, Jesus, he's saying, those words are in red if you look it up in your red letter Bible, I, Jesus, will give you rest. Jesus cares about the burdens that we carry. He tells us in his word to take every burden and cast them on him because he cares for us. He loves us. He loves you. And he wants us to take those stress burdens. He wants us to take those things. There's a song we sing that says, what needless pain we carry, what needless pain we bear. We need to take those burdens and those cares to the Lord. And this message is going to help us do that. This series is designed to help us see it, not from a worldly perspective, not from your counselor's perspective in psychology somewhere, but from a biblical perspective, and how can we handle stress in our life, particularly in these five most stressful areas. I was talking to Kim about this last night, and I had a few illustrations, and she topped mine, and she gave me permission to share this. You know, we have stress in our life too. And one of the stressors that came up in our life, it wasn't too long ago, a few years ago, and it was a pretty trying time in our life, was when Kim had hurt her back terribly. She was in excruciating back pain, and it was debilitating to the point she had MRIs, and she had all the testing done, and she had herniated discs, and she put off surgery for a long time. Now, we both knew why she had put off surgery. Kim used to work for an anesthesiologist, a dentist who also did anesthesia, but he didn't do it. He did it in his office, which is completely legal. You can do anesthesia in a dental office, but unfortunately he didn't have all his bills paid on time and so on. There was struggles there, and some of his equipment was out of date, and he still was doing all of that work. And she had a couple of patients, not one, but a couple of patients flatline in the dental chair as a result, and now nobody's going to ever go back to the dentist for there. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. But she says, I am just scared to death to go under anesthesia, especially any anesthesia. And this was in a hospital, a reputable hospital, a great hospital, great surgeon. I knew the anesthesiologist from my business, great doctors. But all that experience, and so many times the stuff we carry through life continue to drag that along, our experiences, and those things from the past can influence our future, can't they? Those things from our past that we drag along with us can impact our future and create stress in our future, and that's exactly what was going on in Kim's life. She was allowing her past experiences with a doctor that wasn't ethical, that wasn't, and so on, and he was closed down eventually, and to allow that to go into her past experiences with safe environments. And how many times do we allow that to happen in our life? We allow those things to happen. That's our experience, one of them. The other one was Kim was a recruiter, and again, she was going through this stress of she was executive recruiter for worked with her brother, and most of you know that, in a C-level positions, which meant they recruited for CEOs, CFOs, COOs, you know, anything that started with a C position, and that's what that means. And she was doing well with that and so on, but she was struggling. There was stress in her life, and she would attest to this and gave me permission again to share this, stress in her life because she was conflicted in her purpose. She was conflicted in her purpose. God had called me into ministry for sure, and she's my wife, and you go, well, there can be two callings, there certainly can, no doubt about that. But she also knew that God had wanted her to be in, if you will, full-time ministry with me, and we're all in full-time ministry, but you know, he wanted her to be with us. But there was things about finances and, you know, so on, and lots of questions and things going back and forth. But she kept feeling that tug that she wasn't following through with what God's purpose for her really was. And so she came along to me one day, and we had talked about it many times, and she had given her brother notice, and he didn't accept it one time, and you know, a month went by, and he put on another project, and it just didn't work out. So finally, she says, listen, I just know God wants us to do this together. I know that God wants us to commit together. And so I'm going to give that notice, and wherever the cards lay, wherever they fall, we're just going to go head first into this, and we know that God will take care of us, and He certainly has every step of the way. But not knowing our purpose in life, sometimes we know that purpose, and that can cause a great stress in our life when we know what we're supposed to do, or we don't know what we're supposed to do. We just know we're doing the wrong thing, and that can create problems in our life. Knowing our purpose in life can help us deal with future stress. Now, I don't know about you, but some of you are shaking your head, and you can relate to me on some of this, can't you? Don't you? Some of the other stresses that cause stress in our future could be a diagnosis from a doctor, couldn't it? We can't control that, can we? We can control diet and exercise, and you can know I'm learning how to do that, and so on. And we can control our health to an extent, but sometimes things are hereditary. There's things in our life, as much as we want to control, we can't control our health. And we get that bad news from a doctor, or we fear getting that bad news from the doctor, and it stresses us out because it's future stuff, and we stress out about our health future. Sometimes we stress out again about our job future, which we'll cover in a couple of weeks. Sometimes we stress out about our retirement future, which might tie into finances a little bit. Sometimes we stress out about our children's future, don't we? How many of you know about that? I have a 16, 17, and 20-year-old, and we're learning more and more about that constantly as we go through life. But as children grow up, and even as I hear, even as they move out and go their own way, they still have stresses about future stuff and dealing with that. So we want to hear, God has given us four things that I think can help us deal with future stress. Some things that we can tangibly take from Scripture. Scripture, we believe at South Bay Bible Church, is not a book that is just theory. We can practically put on the Scripture. We can tangibly do what the Scripture tells us, a little piece at a time, a little piece at a time, as God gives us that revelation, as God gives us instructions. We can put on the Scripture, and I believe today, as you put on these four things, and maybe you don't have to put them all on, but I'm going to give you a few things, and you put them on, it'll help you in your stress and in dealing with future. It'll give you rest instead of stress. So the first one, as we start through these, the four helps to understand and deal with anxiety and stress. The four things. The first one is to remember God's past faithfulness. To remember God's past faithfulness. Let's take and open our Bibles. This is a very simple verse to find. If you get the Bible there at your seat and open up to the very center of the Bible, that's Psalms, the book of Psalm. And then we're going to go to chapter 42. Psalm 42. This is King, maybe King David speaking. David didn't write all the Psalms. Some people think this is after he had a problem with Absalom, his son. It could be. Psalms chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me." Does that sound like us at times? "Therefore, I will" what? "I will remember you." I will remember you. Mark that in your Bibles. If you do a search in the Scripture on remembering or remembrance or altars. Altars in the Bible were set up many, many, many times as a memorial. He'll say a permanent memorial unto the Lord. And they'll have 12 stones. Remember the Israelites crossed the Jordan River and Joshua said, we got to take 12 stones from the center of the river and bring them up, and one represented each tribe. So when your children ask you why this pile of stones is here, you'll be able to tell them how the Lord brought you out of Egypt and crossed the Jordan River, and it was a time of remembering. There is many, 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 many times where God tells His people to remember. To remember, we celebrated Passover this last Wednesday, had Jews for Jesus come in. Many of you were there. We had completely full of people in here at tables eating the Passover meal. And we remembered all the plagues of Egypt. Remember, we dipped the cup of plague, the second cup, we dipped out 10 drops of grape juice to remember the 10 plagues of Egypt. We took the cup of redemption to remind us and to remember that Christ is the Passover Lamb, that He fulfilled Passover for us, that He took our sins upon us. All of those were remembrances. And over and over and over again, we are called by God to remember all that He has done for us. That's not for His benefit. That's for our benefit. One thing that I found very helpful in my life, and I started it again just a few months ago because I had neglected it. I'll be honest with you up here this morning with my own life. I neglected it for a time, is a praise journal. Every single thing that I can think of that Christ does for me, and now I have just in 3 months, I started the first of the year again, I have an entire list in my iPod, it connects back and forth, of all the answers to prayer and things that God has done for me. So when I get stressed out about the future, I review that every day as a part of my prayer time. But when I get stressed out about the future, when I think about what might be coming up, that's one of the first places I go. I certainly go to the Scripture. I certainly go to God in prayer. But I go to my praise journal. I go to the journal that I keep of all the answers to prayer that God has done for me, because many are the blessings that He's poured into my life. Many are the things. I have a set of goals. I'm a goal-oriented person. You may not do, but when God meets one of those goals, when He helps me accomplish one, it goes on the prayer journal. When I pray for somebody to get better, and they tell me, I put it on the praise journal. God has answered prayer. God has helped me lose now 105 pounds, and I praise God for everyone. It's on the praise journal. I keep updating the ticks on that praise journal because God has done every single one of those. It wasn't me accomplishing that, I can guarantee. I tried for years unsuccessfully, and God has helped me. So I challenge you today, that's on your communication cards, the next step. We believe that the Bible, Christian life, is a series of next steps, and that may be one of the next steps for you to take today to deal with stress in your future. Look at the past of all the times God has answered prayer, and just keep a little log, a little journal. It can be in your phone, can be a piece of paper, it can be one of those white, black and white notebooks. Just keep a list of all the things that God has done in your life. As you review that, you will be blessed in your future rest. God will provide you rest through that. The second thing today I think that we can do is to evaluate the specific sources of stress. This comes from my experience as a counselor. We do biblical counseling. And oftentimes people come to us and they're stressed out about everything. They just come into our office and they're heavy, they're burdened, they're crying, they're distraught, and they say, just everything's a mess. And you start to question, you start to ask questions and gather information, and you find out that it really isn't everything. There's an unresolved conflict in a relationship, maybe at home, maybe with a son or a daughter, or they haven't spoken to somebody in years and that keeps bothering them, that they haven't obeyed God in some area of their life and they know they're what God wants them to do, but they've been reluctant to walk in those steps. And what happens is your peace goes, your joy goes, and that starts to affect every single thing around us. When Kim was having her back problems, although, you know, it affected every area of her life, her mothering, her work, her every single thing. She still could go through those things, but with tremendous pain, and not herself, not the way she was doing things before. And so when we are stressed out about something in our life, it affects every other area of our life. And that can seem overwhelming to people. It really can seem quite overwhelming. So if we will take and evaluate where exactly is this stress coming from, it can be a huge benefit in your life. You can start to gain understanding from it. I have a verse here, Mark chapter 6, verse 31. We turn to Mark, that's the Matthew, Mark, the second gospel in the New Testament. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. You can look it up later if you can't find it quickly. That's okay. Jesus says here to His disciples, He's feeding, going to feed the 5,000 people, a great miracle. He says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get rest. You see, even the apostles, if you read that story in context, you'll know that the disciples, they had been so busy in ministry, they had been so busy doing what God had wanted them to do, that they didn't even have time to eat. That's the context of this passage. And Jesus says, we need to get away and rest. And we can be so busy stressing out about a particular thing in our life. We can be so busy that it captivates us and interferes with other things to where we think everything is a mess. And so if we get away from all of that, if we pull ourselves away and we do a little evaluation, we get away alone with the Lord and we say, God, what is going on? And we start to isolate where the stress is coming from. It oftentimes gives us understanding. It gives us understanding. I want to introduce you to a term today. It comes from the Latin and it's you. You just put a U in front of stress. Eustress. You ever heard that before? It's new to me, and eustress is a good kind of stress. There's good stress and bad stress. You ever been to the doctor and he says, Your cholesterol is high, but your good cholesterol is high too, so you're good. That happened to me for a while. And there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. There's good stress and there's bad stress. And the good stress is the things that help eliminate the bad stress. What do you think some of those might be? Maybe reading our Bible, right? God's Word is life, and it breathes life and help and hope to us. We get stressed out once. What's one of the first things we stop doing? Reading our Bibles, right? And so that spirals the problem. We need to be in God's Word, and His Word will help us deal with stress. You know how? By keeping things in the right perspective. By keeping our eyes on God, because He is the author and finisher of all things. He's in control of all things. And it helps us keep proper perspective, that this too shall pass. That comes from the Bible. He gives us hope and help and all kinds of things to deal with stuff. Another good kind of stress that we mentioned already in the service is being a part of a community group. If you add things to your life, it can stress you out, right? But if there's good stresses, the you stress, and community group is one of those stresses. Because we weren't ever meant to live life alone. We were meant to live life together with other people that we can share with, that we can live life together with, that we're going through something. We probably, if we had 5 or 6 or 8 couples that we're connected with on a weekly basis that we invest our life into and they invest their life into us, we probably won't be going through the same thing at the same time. We'll be going through something and they won't. They can help encourage us. And then someone in the group will go through something and we can encourage them. And it's called living life together. And life is better connected. And you get into a community group, yes, there'll be commitments. Yes, you'll have to make sure you have a night off once a week to go share with your group. But let me tell you, having that added you stress to your life will encourage you in getting rest for your future and eliminating stress. There are things that God puts into our lives that help us deal with stress, and community groups is one of those. Another thing is attending church. God says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, especially as the day approaches, as the world continues to heat up in a spiritual nature. You turn on the news, a lot of that spiritual stuff going on in the world. And as that day approaches, as those things continue to build, you're going to need encouragement from the body of Christ. And God says to meet together for understanding, for encouragement, for strengthening, for edification. There's 25 different commands in the Bible that you cannot obey in Christ not being a part of the body. Those are good stresses. Those are you stresses that we can add into our life and get encouragement and help and rest for the future as we seek to live this life together. So I encourage you to think about that and to keep a blessing journal, to maybe join a community group to say, hey, you know, maybe I haven't been had church a part of my life. I'm gonna do that. One way you can do that is one of these things is to attend. The next step here is to attend the rest of this stress series. Just for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to do everything I can to be here on Sunday at 9 or 11 and be a part of this series and let God just work in my life to eliminate the stress in my life, to give me some rest in return. That'd be a great next step for you. And I'd encourage you to take one of those steps. Just mark it right there. There's a pin in front of you. You can mark that step. So remember God's past faithfulness, evaluate the specific sources of stress in our life, and number three, to stick to what I know is right. Getting tongue twisted up here. Stick to what I know is right. First Peter, let's turn to Philippians instead. You can look at the Peter verse. I'm running out of time. Up later. If you want to, you can circle that Ephesians verse and I'll read it to you this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul gives us some instructions. He says in verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he says in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And look at this next promise. And the peace of God will be with you. How many of you could use some more peace in your life? A lot of us, right? We could use some more peace in our life. That peace that passes all understanding. The joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the Apostle Paul tells us, that peace is only available through God. That's the only lasting peace. We can get warm and fuzzies, we can have nice feelings from other things, but the lasting peace only comes from God. And that comes from knowing what is right and then walking in what is right. In counseling, we often talk to people about what feels right and what is right. That's a big difference. What feels right often isn't what's right. When two people are having a conflict in a relationship, and I've said this, if I've said it one time in my house, I've said it 1,000. My kids probably know what I'm going to say before I even say it. It's not who's right, it's what's right. It's not who's right, it's what's right. We have to keep our eye on what is right in our life, and it's not always what feels right. In pilot school, some of you know I'm a private pilot. I love to fly. In fact, I don't like French cuff shirts, but I have French cuff shirts on. The only one I can button on my neck here. I've been a few weeks with no tie because I'm losing weight. And so I got airplane cufflinks, and I really like these cufflinks. My wife bought them for me. But when you're learning to fly, and you're doing any, you know, even as a private VFR pilot, I had to go through a little instrument training. I'm not an instrument rated pilot, although that's a rating I would like to get. And that is when you can fly in the clouds. I need 3 miles of visibility and certain cloud clearances and all of that in order to fly. So if I was an instrument rated pilot, I could have 1 mile of visibility. It could be foggy, hazy. I could go in the clouds, instrument rated, they vector you through and you can fly. So one day I was getting my flight training, going through this process, and my instructor says, okay, he puts this hood on me and it's this thing where I can't see anything out of the cockpit. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. And you can only see your instruments. And then he tells you to look down so you can't see. After a few minutes of flying, look down. And he does all these crazy maneuvers with the airplane. I mean, he's doing steep turns, makes your stomach feel like, like a roller coaster, up and down and over. And then he says, okay, you got the F. He takes his hands off and you're doing something crazy. And he says, now you fixed it. And you can only look at the instruments and you have to fix the airplane and get it straight and level again, straight and level flight. Well, when you do that, you're in a steep turn like this, and he has you in that for a few seconds, that seems normal to you. That feels right. You feel like you're straight and level, even though you're turning at a crazy angle, 45-degree angle, which is a big angle on an airplane. And you're descending. When you turn like that, if you don't add some power, you start descending like this. So you feel, honest to goodness, you feel like you're straight and level. You feel like that's right. When you turn it back to straight and level, you feel like you're doing this. And you feel like you're going up. And you push it down, you aggravate it. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But your instruments are not lying to you. So the saying in the airplane is, trust your instruments, fly the plane. If I heard that once, I heard it 1,000 times. Trust the instruments, fly the plane. All right? It's not based on your feelings. Do what's right. When John F. Kennedy, remember that crash? John F. Kennedy Jr. crashed not far from here, Martha's Vineyard, I think. He got into some fog. He wasn't an instrument-rated pilot, and he trusted his gut and not his instruments. And he plummeted into the ocean. So you got to trust your instruments. Even experienced pilots can get into trouble. went outside. I used to have an office at Fort Myers to Fort Lauderdale, and I liked to fly over there, so I had an airplane. We flew over a couple of times a week, and I would get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever and check the weather. If it was bad weather, I had to get in the car and I had to drive. The good weather, I could sleep another hour or two and get up and fly because it's a short little flight. So I got up, checked the weather, clear weather, good. I went back to bed. I got up and went to the airport. I didn't check the weather again. Bad mistake. Bad mistake to do that. That was just a dumb, naive, early pilot mistake. So I didn't check the weather. I could have at least looked up and said, "Martin, can you see any stars?" No, I didn't do that either. So in Florida, fog can come in real thick. It can come in real early, but it can be off the ground. It looks beautiful. I can see miles on the ground. But I take off. There's the control tower's closed. They open at like 6 o'clock or something. I'm taking off at 5 o'clock or something like that. And I take off. You know, I'm radioing and doing all the stuff I'm supposed to do. And about 350 feet, maybe 400 feet, all of a sudden, cloud, and I can't see the lights on the ground anymore. I can't see the lights on the ground, and all of a sudden, I am in clouds. This layer of clouds, this layer of fog. Well, I remembered my flight instruction. I said, first of all, look at the check. You know those instruments, trust the instruments, and fly the airplane. Whatever you do, fly the airplane. The third thing is, contact somebody. Well, the international airport was not too far away, and so I flipped over that frequency and I said, you know, here's my airplane number. I said, hey, I need some help. I did something dumb and I'm in the clouds, and as soon as I talked to him, I busted out of the clouds and it was clear as you could believe upstairs. It was just this layer. So I said, are you in VFR conditions now? I says, I am. He says, I'm glad you called me because we had you on radar and you were flying right in the path of a 747 to our airport. We steered them away from you. So we're glad you called. Flyers heading. They checked ahead at the airport and they says, I was shaking. And they said, by the way, you're clear ahead, so fly to the airport and you're about to land. I thought, what if this is covering the whole state? They're going to have to like talk me down or something. You know, I didn't know. So it worked out. The point is, we don't trust our feelings. Our feelings, our gut feeling, what seems right to us, often is not the right thing. For instance, you know, you're going through things in life and you need a break from stuff. God is rarely going to take you out of church to do that. God is rarely going to have you shut down all ministry in your life to fix a problem in your life. When we do that, we are becoming self-consumed. And sometimes you go, I need a break. And if your sentences start to fixate on I instead of others, that's usually leading you in the wrong direction. And oftentimes we become very exclusive. We become very inward focused when God would have us take a step out and focus on the needs of others. Kim and I were at a hospital once. It was Jason or Craig, I don't remember now. I think it was Craig. And we were having a little pity party on our own because we were in the hospital. Our doctor was a little hospital happy. And he had this little respiratory thing going on, but it wasn't that serious. And we were like 2 or 3 days. We were having a little pity party. My mother-in-law came to stay with us so we could go get some food. And we were there like, I can't believe this doctor, kind of grumbling. And in walked this mom with her kid in a wheelchair who had chemotherapy, obviously, and was completely bald. And we looked at each other and went, what are we doing? It could be so much worse. When you're down in the dumps, when you're all stressed out about something, you can, what's right? You can think about that. There's always somebody worse off than you. And getting your eyes all fixated on yourself and on your stress, on your problems, and not keeping those things on what is right, what is the truth, can make things spiral out of control. And in an airplane, end up hitting something you don't want to hit, end up going into the ocean like JFK Jr. And so that's a spiral out of control. Keeping your eyes on the instruments, keeping your eyes on the Word of God, fixating on Jesus and what is right will help you have an upward spiral and help your life have less stress and a whole lot more rest. So, the first one is to remember God's faithfulness. The second one is to evaluate and what is the source of distress and give you understanding and help. Stick to what I know is right. And the fourth one, dealing with my stress of my future, my fourth one is just trust God with the future. Most stress comes from the fact that we don't have control in some area of life. That for some area of life, whether it's our finances, our sex life, our future, whatever it is, we don't have control. And the truth is, we don't have control over a lot of stuff in life, and it can stress us out. So what do we do with that? Well, we need to trust. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us. He loved us so much that He sent His own Son, Jesus, to the earth to rescue us from death. And that's what we celebrate here on Easter Sunday. That's the whole point. That's why I wanted to start this message, this series, Stress to Rest, with on Easter Sunday. It's because our future, if we know our future is secure in God, and it is only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we have hope for the future instead of stress for the future. We have rest for the future because we can rest in Him. You see, if you turn to your sermon notes, and there's a little stuff on the back of it, on the next page, it says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power available to each one of us who believe on His name, who believe that He raised again from the dead. That same power comes into our life to help us with the future, to give us, to take the stress away and to give us hope, to take the stress away and give us rest. We have maybe we've been in the mud. Maybe we've been sunk for months and months and years. Things haven't been going our way. Things have seemed overwhelming on many different fronts. We aren't even able to isolate it, as my second suggestion today is. Maybe we can't pinpoint it. Things are just out of control everywhere. But the same power that breathed into that lifeless corpse on Easter Sunday, on the first Easter Sunday, is the very same power that can resurrect your life, that can breathe new hope into you, that can breathe new rest into your tired, lifeless body. And that all comes because God loves you, because God is a Father. Maybe you don't have a terrific father. Every earthly father falls short on some level. We weren't perfect. I like to tell my kids that, you know, I wasn't a perfect dad. Look to God. He's the perfect dad. I blew it. I got it wrong so many times I can't even count them anymore. I've done dumb stuff, but your Father in heaven is perfect and loves you far more than I love you. I'm not capable of that kind of love, but He is. And He loved you so much. We were involved in sin. I was a liar. I was a thief. I lusted. I had murder in my heart. I hated people. I was angry with people, which is the same as murder. I didn't keep the Sabbath day, which grinded even more stress in my life. Not to take a Sabbath once a week and just take a day off and chill and let God minister to me. I didn't honor my parents. I had all these sins that I was going to have to give an account for on the day of judgment. And God loved me so much. And you're the same way, by the way. All of us have sinned, right? You're with me, right? We've all messed up. We've all sinned. This isn't about judgment this morning. This is a celebration that Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross, because the penalty for sin is death. He died on the cross to pay your penalty, to make my penalty. So when God sees us on that judgment day, and when everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ has to give an account of every single sin they've ever committed, and you stand before God going, I don't have anything to say. And He can look at you and say, but you have Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Because He'll know. Maybe He'll even ask. And He'll say, because Jesus Christ paid your fine, and He'll slap the gavel down, you can go free. Not about earning it, not about deserving it, because I certainly didn't earn it. I certainly don't deserve it. God gave it to me as a free gift. I can't even pay it back. I can't afford it. But He gave it to me anyway. And the same power, because we're co-heirs with Christ, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that He breathes into my life every single morning. Great is His faithfulness, and gives me new hope for that day. Gives me new grace for that day. We sang about the grace of the Lord a few minutes ago. Grace, grace. And He gives us new hope, new grace, and new rest at the end of the day. I don't have to worry about the future I can't control, because He holds everything right in the palm of His hands. He's in control. And He loves me. I don't have to worry about that. He loves me. And church, I got a message for you this morning. He loves you too. He loves you too. It's not about a magical prayer to come to Jesus. Lots of people say, repeat after me and pray this prayer. It's not about all that. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sin, that God rose Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. Even children can do it. Even people that have problems mentally can do it. He's made it so simple that all of us can believe Jesus. Put your faith in Him today. If you've never heard the gospel like that, if you didn't understand what Jesus' death on the cross meant to you, why this guy 2,000 years ago had to die so that you could be forgiven, listen, mark that on your card today. Would you do that? There's a place right here, and I got a packet of information. We don't want you to walk alone. I have a packet of information, a Bible. I want to send you a special Bible. I want to help you along this journey. And there's a spot down here that said, right here in your next step, I become a follower of Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. If you'll mark that, and we got your information on the front, tomorrow, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, but tomorrow, in the mail, I'll send you that packet of information. It'll be helpful. And I will be praying for you every single day by name, that God will help you and He'll encourage you and He'll strengthen you. It's not rocket science. It's simple faith that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that He rose again from the dead to purchase that place in heaven for you. So trust Him. Take those other next steps. Memorize Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Attend the rest of this series. How many of you are going to try to do that? A good number of you? Okay? We're going to try to attend the rest of this series. We're going to keep that blessing journal. Oh, I'm telling you what a blessing that is. I just misspelled. And the next one is, maybe you want to think about that community group. If you do, mark that. We'll get you information on it. You can come Wednesday night if you can't make Friday. And God will be honored in your life. Amen? Let's pray. God, we want to thank You for this message. We don't want to live in unnecessary stress. We know, Lord, our future is... Maybe we don't know our future. It's a little uncertain. We don't know about our job situation, our work situation. We don't know about our finances. We don't know about our diagnosis. We don't know what's going to happen, Lord, next week, next month, next year, next day. But now, Lord, through this message, through Your gospel, through Your word, we know that You love us and that You're a Father that cares for us. And that, Lord, You cared for us so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And, Lord, that life doesn't start when we die. That life starts right now with the power of the gospel that raised Jesus Christ from the dead comes into our lives right now, the moment we believe Jesus, and begins right now to transform us and make us like Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray for each one of the folks here today. Lord, maybe they believed You before they walked in, but they didn't get it, and now they get it, and now they got it. And Lord, I pray that You would grant eternal life, that You would grant immeasurable faith, that You would grow them and strengthen them in their walk with You, that You would bless them mightily, God, that You would give them amazing rest in their future and remove their stress and encourage and just fill them, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Do that now, God, in the name of Jesus. encourage them, strengthen them, fill them. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we, in just a moment, we're going to receive the offering. I just want to, again, call your attention one more time to this communication card. Fill it out. Give us as much as you can give us there so we can pray for you. I use this to pray. If you have any prayer requests, you can write them down there. And we'll be praying for those. We have a prayer team that, if it's not a confidential request, something I can share, I'll give it to them and they can we can pray for that. And you can turn that in at the offering time as we receive that offering in just a minute. If you'd come up, gentlemen, we'll receive the offering. God, we pray for this offering in the name of Jesus. Bless the gift and the giver for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, guys. The Lord, thank you for coming today. I hope that you have been blessed. Did you enjoy today's service? All right, praise the Lord. This stress to rest where we've just started today, it's going to continue. So we have invite cards. We encourage each of you to invite somebody with you. You can pick up invite cards at the foyer out here on the table and bring somebody with you next week. Amen. I can use the message. If you're a guest with us, we just want to remind you about the Case for Christ book by Lee Strobel. I encourage you to pick that up on your way out in the back or in the foyer. Arlene will be out here helping you and get the book. And make sure you get a welcome packet. You may want to know more information about the church. There's a blue welcome packet with our beliefs and all that stuff. I encourage you to take that with us. If you can, stay with us for snacks after the service. We have cookies and coffee and all kinds of good stuff out these doors to your left of the kitchen. Especially if you're a guest, we'd love to have you stay with us this morning. Why don't you stand up with us?